Thank you, choir. Good job. That was lovely. Would you pray with me, please? Calm us now, O Lord, into a quietness that heals and listens. Open wounded hearts to the balm of your word. Speak to us in clear tones so that we might feel our spirits leap for joy and skip with hope as your resurrection witnesses. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes the most important things that happen to us in life are the intrusions. We're on our way somewhere. We have an agenda, a clear, direct purpose in mind, and we get distracted. Something else comes up that demands our attention. And that something else turns out to be more important than the journey on which we were originally launched. I know a lot of people complain that pastors do not manage their time very well. Sometimes it seems to take us a little too long to get things done. We get distracted, set aside a morning to prepare a sermon, but then here comes a person with a need, an immediate problem, and we drop everything for this intrusion. And truthfully, I probably like intrusions more than most pastors. In my last church, the receptionist spoke up about the interesting difference between me and my predecessor. When the previous had the outer door of the office open, he would quickly get up from his desk chair, go to his office door, and close it. I, however, when I heard the outer office door open, I would get up from my office chair and go see who was there so we could chat. The previous pastor often complained about being bored and not having enough to keep. I, however, never had time to get bored. I was always scrambling to keep up with my tasks. So when I hear one of you say, "I hate to bother you, you are so busy," that statement bothers me. You don't bother me, but the statement does. I never want to be too busy for you. I will always do my very best to make time for you. In some ways, I what others might call intrusions. That's when I feel like I'm doing what God has called me to do. Today's gospel lesson is a story about a woman who was an intrusion. Jesus was about important business. In the verses just before she intrudes, a leader of the synagogue, an important and impressive man, persuades Jesus to make a house on his ailing daughter. And just after this woman's intrusion, the story of the man at the synagogue is resumed and finished. But on the way to do something very good for an important person and his daughter, Jesus gets distracted. A woman appears. She intrudes from the margins. Of course, on the margin, a lot of women have been throughout most of history. Historically, women have not had a place in the big story. They have been there, though, on the margins, living quietly. They take what they can from the leftovers of history, but they don't often get to make history. They don't get mentioned when the final account is given of what really happened in the world. Still, this woman pushes forward. She demands to be noticed. She intrudes into the story. We don't know this woman's name. We know nothing about her family circumstances. All we know is that she is a woman whose body is in big trouble. She is a person in pain. For 12 years, she has been hemorrhaging. That is a lot of blood to lose, a lot of life lost. We also learn that she had endured much under many physicians. In frantic pursuit of well-being, she has spent her days in waiting rooms, if you will, in emergency rooms. She filled out those endless insurance forms and waited and waited and waited. She has been poked at, tested, discussed, humiliated, lost in her dignity, and still she suffers. She has nothing. Medicine has done all it could for her, and to what end? She's poor. She has no hope. No hope, it would appear, except for Jesus. Now, at the end of her rope, she makes one last effort to live. She reaches out. She pushes out from the margins to move toward power. Can you see her hand moving out to touch Jesus? You know that picture by Michelangelo at the Sistine Chapel, the one of God touching the creation, God's creation, Adam. There, the Almighty Father reaches out to touch Adam's body, to give him that spark of life. Here, the action moves in a different direction. Here, the woman reaches out to Jesus, a lifeless, her lifeless, anemic finger reaches toward Jesus, toward life. She said to herself, if I can but touch his clothes, I will be healed. This, to me, is one of the strongest images of faith that I see in the New Testament. Her hand reaching out from the margins of the crowd to where she has been pushed by her poverty, her pain, her gender, reaching out to touch Jesus, the Lord, the giver of life. She reaches out and receives the life for which she had hoped. Immediately she is healed. Even for one pushed to the margins of life, there is healing. There is miraculous healing. There is life. Jesus speaks. We really can't tell from the tone of his voice if he's upset with this intrusive woman, or anxious because some of his power has left him, or simply compassionate toward this hurting person. Perhaps he speaks because he wants to know who this person is with such faith that she demands such a blessing. His disciples appear to have little concern to identify the woman. But Jesus is different. He wants to know who she is. Perhaps this is one of the most healing moments in the whole story. This woman, who was an unknown, unidentified, and identified only by her bleeding and her pain, is now going to be known. Known by face, at least, if not by name, in all her particularity and individuality. Again, this woman takes matters in hand. She steps up. She identifies herself. This tells us so much about her. Remember that story of David and Goliath last week? There is no doubt in my mind that David was nearly scared to death as he faced Goliath. But his faith in God gave him the courage to face his fear. This woman's faith, despite her fear, gives her courage. Still, this woman trembles. After all, she has made a bold, decisive move, a move that her upbringing and cultural norms tell her are inappropriate. She's pushed out from the margins where society has relegated her. She is pushed out toward Jesus. Her culture instructs her to be a merely passive recipient of whatever life has dealt her. Yet she boldly reached out and seized life for herself. She touched the center of power from her pain. But she must have wondered, now will I be disciplined? Jesus speaks to her. He doesn't scold or criticize her. He addresses her not as you patient or you sick one or you energy stealer. No, he tenderly calls her daughter. It's an intimate designation that honors her, that places her not outside on the margins, but within the family of God. He praises her action. Your faith has made you well. Jesus doesn't even claim to have healed her. Rather, he gives her all the credit for reaching out. She had faith that Jesus not only could heal her, but that he would heal her. She refused to accept the position to which society had relegated her. She was determined to be someone more than simply a person in pain and helplessness. She had faith in Jesus, but she also had faith that God would give her the capacity to reach out and touch, to receive power. And so Jesus blesses her. Go in peace, he says. Go in wholeness. Go to live life full. Your faith has made you well. Her reaching out has been confirmed in his reaching back toward her, healing her, and giving her peace. Then Mark, the gospel writer, goes back to the original story before the intrusion, the story about the daughter of the leader of the synagogue. The leader's faith gave him the courage to seek Jesus out to bring healing to his daughter. Life is also given there. Not only is the little girl healed and brought back to life, but all those mourning her death were healed as well, especially her father. His faith made him well in the healing of his daughter. Well, this is the weekend, or at least one of the weekends, that we celebrate Independence Day. So as I set out to write this, I wanted to bring our country into the discussion. Perhaps this is a stretch, but I think we can look around at all the ills of our country and pretty easily see that we need healing too. Whether we are for or against President Trump's actions, whether we see the people crossing our borders as illegal immigrants or refugees, whether we are Republican, Democrat, Green, or Libertarian, whether we want teachers to be paid more or a reduction in our taxes, whether Black Lives Matter or all lives matter, whether we want football players to stand for the national anthem or support those who choose to kneel, whether we are pro-choice or anti-abortion, support or oppose gay rights, or stand anywhere in between on all these issues, I think we can agree our country needs healing. And Jesus is the answer. If we have the faith to courageously reach out, whether boldly asking Jesus to come and heal or to tentatively but bravely reach out to touch the hem of his garment, Jesus will indeed bring healing. I hope we're impressed with the life given to the bleeding woman, and that we can wonder and ponder, can this be our story? From what I can tell, there is a great deal of bleeding, much hemorrhaging going on within ourselves, within our church, within our national church, and in our country. Is life ebbing away from us day by day? We, like the disciples, stand by and watch people get pushed to the margins, relegated to hopeless situations, powerless, weak, and in pain. And too easily we say, she is beyond all hope, or, sorry, you just have to adapt and accept your present situation. But then comes this story of this intrusive woman pushing into our settled arrangement, reminding us that in Jesus Christ there is power let loose in the world, which is there for us. In whatever pain we suffer, however caught or trapped we might feel, will we reach out to that power? Will we let him speak to us? Will we let that life that God intends for us flow toward us? This is the faith that makes us whole. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Alleluia. Amen. Would you please stand?